Welcome to Canvas Digest, the podcast where we share practical strategies for educators who want to make their teaching even more effective. Today, we're diving into a topic that's often overlooked: using Canvas to support your face-to-face classes. Whether you're a Canvas pro or just starting out, you'll leave with ideas to enhance your in-person teaching. Let's get started.
Today, we're digging into something familiar, but maybe underused. Canvas, the learning management system.
Right.
Specifically, how to use it not just for online courses, but to genuinely boost your face-to-face teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people see it as, you know, a file repository or maybe just a backup plan if class gets canceled.
That's the common view, yeah. A digital filing cabinet.
But Canvas is this core digital foundation, something that makes in-person classes run smoother, better even.
Absolutely. It's about integration, not just storage.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission today is to show you how to transform Canvas from that dusty storage closet into like an essential daily toolkit that actually helps you connect with students.
And the big shift, the real prize here, is efficiency.
Yeah.
But not just for the instructor, which is where people usually stop.
Okay.
The deeper benefit is reducing what education folks call cognitive load for the student.
Cognitive load. Okay, that sounds a bit academic. Break that down for us. What does that actually mean in a classroom context? Because, yeah, sounds like jargon, but you're saying it's important.
It's huge. Huh. It means getting rid of all that little background static, that administrative anxiety that just eats away at a student's focus.
Like worrying if they missed a handout.
Exactly. Or did the syllabus change? Was there an email about the room swap? Every second a student spends chasing down that kind of detail, that's brain power not spent on, you know, grappling with the actual course.
Oh, okay.
So Canvas, when you use it right, creates this single reliable source of truth. It frees up their mental bandwidth for the hard stuff, the learning.
That clicks. It's about continuity, isn't it? So learning doesn't just stop the moment they walk out the door. If they're sick or just need to review, it's all still there.
Precisely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, think about flow. You have this amazing, energetic discussion in class, right?
Yeah.
You don't want that spark to just fizzle out. With Canvas set up properly, you can immediately post a follow-up question, share that article someone mentioned, link to the next reading.
Ah, so the platform keeps the momentum going.
Yes. It's ready for that next step because you've built the framework.
Okay, so how do we build it? Let's get practical. It's clearly more than just uploading a syllabus in August. The sources boiled it down to 5 core strategies. Starting with the obvious one, maybe, organization.
Organization and material sharing, yeah. But it needs radical consistency.
Radical consistency, I like that.
It's not just dumping PDFs. It's about clear, predictable file names, standardized folder structures, making sure everything slides, readings, assignment prompts, lives in one logical, easy-to-find spot, week after week.
I think we underestimate how much mental energy that saves students, just knowing the week 5 slides will be in the same place as the week 4 slides.
It builds trust in the system. No more, did we get a handout or where's the reading for Thursday? And think about the student who missed class. Maybe they just had a cold. They don't need to track down notes or email you frantically.
They just go to the week 5 module.
Exactly. And they find the slides, maybe those driving questions you post to guide their thinking, maybe even a quick audio summary you recorded. Suddenly, the classroom is accessible even when they aren't physically there.
Okay, materials handled. Strategy 2 tackles another big time sink. Communication chaos. You know, the endless emails asking the same thing.
They're the bane of every instructor's existence.
Huh. So how does Canvas help?
Centralize the broadcast. Canvas announcements need to be the official channel, the class fire alarm, basically.
Right.
We've all been there. 5 minutes before class, 3 different emails pop up.
Yeah.
Where are we meeting? If you establish from day one that all critical updates, room changes, deadline shifts, reminders come only through announcements.
You kill that scramble. One source of truth.
Exactly. And it trains students to look there first.
And the inbox feature plays a role too, right? Keeping course comms separate from the general university email flood.
Yes, it creates a boundary. Course-specific conversations live with the course content, not lost in the noise of departmental memos and event invites. Much cleaner.
Okay, strategy 3, boosting engagement. This feels like where the digital really enhances the physical space. It's tough getting everyone talking in a big lecture hall.
It really is. And this is where Canvas discussions become so valuable. They're a lifeline for your quieter students, the ones who need time to process before speaking up.
So you could post a reflection question after a lecture.
Perfect example. Or have them post a quick response to a reading before class to prime the discussion. It extends the conversation beyond the classroom walls, and honestly, it democratizes participation.
Gives everyone a voice.
Precisely. Plus, you get richer insights sometimes, because they've had a chance to really think, not just react on the spot.
I also like the idea of using quick polls or ungraded quizzes during the lecture. Instant feedback.
Oh, totally. Take the temperature of the room in real time. Quick check. Did that concept land? Pop up a multiple choice question.
And if, like, 70% get it wrong?
You know, immediately you need to backtrack or explain it differently. You're not waiting 2 weeks for the midterm results to find out they didn't get it. It's formative assessment on the fly.
Okay, that's powerful. Let's move to what might be the most dreaded task, grading. The sources push hard for moving assignment submission and feedback fully online.
Yes, and it's not just about saving trees, though that's nice too. It's really a strategic shift towards centralizing the data around student work.
Data centralization, okay. But getting assignments into Canvas, setting up rubrics, I can hear people thinking, that sounds like a lot of upfront work.
It is. There's no denying the initial setup time.
So when does the payoff actually happen? When does the efficiency kick in?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The efficiency really starts to compound around, say, the 10th paper you grade using SpeedGrader.
Sorry, grader. Tell us about that.
Okay, so first, the instructions and the rubric are right there next to the submission.
Okay.
Clear expectations. But SpeedGrader itself lets you click through rubric criteria instantly. It calculates the score automatically, and you can drop in pre-saved comments or type-specific feedback right onto the document. No downloading, marking up, re-uploading. It significantly cuts down the time per paper.
Right. Streamlines the workflow.
But here's the strategic win.
Mm-hmm.
All that feedback data, all those scores, those comments, which rubric items students struggled with, it's all captured automatically in the gradebook. Instantly.
Ah, so you're not just grading, you're collecting data on learning patterns.
Exactly. You have rich, actionable insights, not just a graded stack gathering dust.
Which leads nicely into the final strategy, supporting all learners. How does this centralized system help us differentiate for students who need extra help or those ready for more?
This is where Canvas becomes an engine for equity and inclusion, really. Because everything's organized, you can easily add supplemental resources for each unit or topic.
Like what?
Well, for students maybe struggling with a concept, you could post links to Khan Academy videos or an alternative reading that explains it differently. Easy access to review materials. And for students who got it quickly and are getting bored, you post enrichment activities. Maybe a tougher problem set, an advanced article, a challenge question for optional discussion.
So you're catering to both ends of the spectrum without holding anyone back or making anyone wait. You're using the platform to offer different pathways.
Exactly. It solves that classic pacing dilemma you have in a diverse classroom. The course site becomes a resource library they can navigate based on their own needs.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Let's pull all five strategies together. The consistency, the communication hub, the engagement tools, the online grading, the differentiation, and apply them to that classic scenario. Teaching a huge, maybe 150 student, intro lecture. How does this work in practice?
Right, the big lecture hall challenge.
So walk us through it. You're proactive before the semester even starts.
Long before. You set up your Canvas course using modules as the backbone. Week one, week two, week three. You upload the syllabus. All the core readings, maybe even draft versions of your lecture slides for the whole term right at the beginning.
Get it all loaded up front.
And you establish rule number one. Canvas is the only official channel for course info, deadlines, changes, period.
Setting that expectation.
Then the system starts working for you. Every Monday morning, maybe Sunday night, you post a standard announcement. Here's what's happening in week six readings, topics, upcoming quiz. Total predictability.
Students know exactly what to expect.
Assignments, all submitted online, zero lost papers. Grading happens in SpeedGrader. Consistent feedback using those rubrics.
Okay, that covers the workflow. But you mentioned something fascinating earlier, the proactive use of the system as an intervention. How does that work? How is the gradebook more than just a score repository?
This is where the data pays off, because almost every interaction can be tracked, viewing content, submitting work, quiz scores, discussion posts. The integrated analytics tools start to surface patterns. Like, you can quickly filter the gradebook to see who hasn't logged in this week.
Yeah.
Or, more powerfully, who maybe viewed the week 7 module, but their last two quiz scores suddenly dip below 70%.
Ah, so the system flags potential problems.
Yes. It gives you these digital breadcrumbs. And that lets you, the instructor, send a quick private message through the Canvas inbox. Hey, notice you might be finding Chapter 7 tricky. Want to connect during office hours.
Before they bomb the midterm.
Exactly. You're intervening based on leading indicators, not waiting for the crash. You shift from being reactive, dealing with failures after they happen, to being proactive, offering support before things go off the rails.
That fundamentally changes the dynamic, especially in a huge class where it's easy for students to feel invisible.
It makes the large class feel smaller, more connected. The platform helps maintain that link.
So let's distill this. For someone listening who wants to implement this, what are the absolute must-do best practices?
Okay, rule one, keep it simple, seriously simple. Avoid complicated navigation. If students need 3 clicks to find the reading, they just won't. Clear labels, clean design, less is more.
And use modules religiously, right? That seems key for structure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Modules are your organizing principle. Group everything for week 4, the overview, the slides, the readings, the discussion prompt, the assignment link in the week 4 module. It creates that logical pathway.
Got it. What else?
Rule 3 is about habit and trust. You have to be consistent. If you sometimes email important stuff and sometimes use announcements, students won't know where to look. Stick to the plan. Post materials reliably. Use announcements for all key updates every time.
Consistency builds reliability.
It really does. And finally, don't just set it and forget it. Get feedback on the Canvas site itself. Run a quick anonymous poll or survey around midterm using Canvas tools. Ask simple questions. Is the site easy to navigate? Which feature helps you most? What's confusing?
Iterate based on user feedback.
Exactly. Make those small tweaks for the second half of the course. Show students you're listening to their experience with the digital environment too.
So what does this all mean? When we pull back, Canvas isn't just this administrative burden or, you know, a fallback for snow days.
But not at all.
It's actually a really powerful tool set. It helps you, the instructor, be more efficient by centralizing all that admin stuff. And at the same time, it helps your students succeed by cutting down their mental clutter and making sure everything they need is always available.
It's that dual benefit, teacher efficiency and student success, supported simultaneously by the same integrated system. When you streamline your processes digitally, you free up valuable time and energy in the physical classroom.
Less time chasing papers, more time teaching.
Precisely. More time for those meaningful interactions that actually drive learning. Okay, so if we agree that consistent communication and simple organization are really the linchpins for making Canvas work well in a face-to-face class, here's a final thought for you listening.
Lay it on us.
What's one specific thing you currently manage using paper or just verbal reminders in your physical classroom? Maybe it's sign-up sheets for office hours. Maybe it's a particular handout. You always struggle to have enough copies of what's one piece of that physical organization you could commit to moving entirely online to Canvas starting next week. Just one thing.
That wraps up today's episode of Canvas Digest. Remember, Canvas isn't just for online learning. It's a versatile tool for any classroom. Try out these tips and see how they make your next in-person class more organized, engaging, and supportive for every student. Until next time, happy teaching!